places are the worst. And this past week, I took some pictures of Rama Blanca. And anyway, this is, we actually have beachfront property in Guatemala and in Rama Blanca. There it is. There's where we are feeding. I got another picture here I want to share with you about. This is a girl. Let's go to the next slide there. She's 36 years old and in our feeding center. And you say, why is she 36 in our feeding center? It's very hard. She's got cerebral palsy. But I always get my hug from Nora every time I'm there. Nora dresses up every single time she comes to the feeding center. She has her makeup on, and she walks pretty hard. It's a hard walk for her, but she has her dress shoes on, her dress and everything. So it's good to see Nora there. We had a tremendous storm while we were there, lightning storm, rainstorm, but it's kind of normal. Next slide. Another place that we had, this church that we went with wanted to put in some stoves. And so what we did is, I want to show just this picture here. This is where most of the people, this is how they cook. It could be even more primitive than this, but they cook under, they just actually just cook it, and then smoke is all in their system. Smoke is just going everywhere. And so a lot of their problems that they have there with their kids and even the ladies that are cooking, that smoke gets into their system. They constantly have respiratory problems. And so one of the things that we try to do when we're there is, if we can, to actually put some stoves. And I've got a picture here of us putting a stove in this past week. We actually put in 6 stoves onto homes. And if you notice, they're vented. So there's still wood burning, but there's no smoke that comes out. And this is one of the ladies that we had a chance to, every one of our ones we go to, we share the gospel with them as well. So this lady did trust Christ as her personal savior, but it was just a great experience this past week there in San Lucas. Let's go to the next slide. I put this in there, since it's Father's Day, I wanna share some pictures with you that I consider fatherless children. And here's the thing though, you know, we talk about fatherless children, but every one of us, if we know Jesus Christ, we have the greatest father that there is, and that's God himself. And so this is me and this little boy. His name is Joseph. If you don't know, my first name is Joseph. This little boy we got in our Panama orphanage 16 years ago as an infant, and they named him after me. His name is Joseph. This was the last picture that I got of him before he was adopted out. A good Christian family came and adopted him out. He's got to be 16 or 17, which is kind of, anyway, he kind of looks like me, though. He called me Papa Chuck, but sweet, sweet boy. But thankful today he does have a father and a mom. Next picture. This is another little girl. If you ever come with me in our orphanage down in Guatemala, this is a picture of me. I'm actually up to her right, but this is one of the girls that actually was sold into slavery. And so her and her siblings were sold into slavery and got into a prostitution ring by gangs. And we got her and her kids out. And today I got a big bear hug this week. She's 16 years old today, and it's just thankful that we were able to take care of these kids, and these kids are growing. Her siblings, she's the second of the youngest. We have two that actually have aged out. They're still with us. And then we also spent some time this week with our Children's Village. Children's Village is an orphanage for teenage boys, and we were able to take them out to Pollo Campero. You know what Pollo Campero is, don't you, Miss? You do, don't Claudia? I know you do. Great chicken place, and these are some of them. We took them out to Cerritas, it's an ice cream shop. But we have 6 boys. Every one of these boys, they're not orphans, but they're taken out of their homes because of some kind of abuse. So if you'll pray for our projects down in Guatemala, and here's 4 of the boys that we have in our Children's Village. I think that's it. Yep. No, one more. We got El Dorado too. I want to share with them. I just took a picture when we were in El Dorado. El Dorado is actually in Spanish, it's called the plow. Is that the last picture that I have? Okay. If you have your Bibles, I want you to just turn and just hold it there to Mark chapter 5. And when Pastor asked me to speak a Father's Day message today. You know, I was reminded of this story that we're going to read here just in a second, that is found in Mark chapter 5. It's Jairus is a father that has a daughter that looks like she's about to die. And we're going to get into that story in just a minute, but I got a couple of verses here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1. It says this, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Fathers, if you're here and you're a father here, very important for us as fathers to lead our families the way we should, the instruction of a father. And I'm going to give you some statistics here in just a minute of people who basically have no fathers. Another one is Proverbs 1:8 says this. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." It's important, you know, to have a mother, but it's also important to have a father that is in the home as well. And I was looking at, you know, what about Father's Day? How did Father's Day exist? Why is it today? And I just found this out. First Father's Day was observed on June 19, 1910 in Spokane, Washington. And it says at about the same time in various towns and cities across America, other people were beginning to celebrate a Father's Day, remembering fathers. Finally, it says in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge supported the idea of a national Father's Day. And then in 1966, President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. And we are thankful for good fathers. May their numbers become legions. And for all you that are here, happy Father's Day. How many of you did or maybe passed on had a father? You better all raise your hand because you all had a father, okay? My father, I look back and remember my father well. My father passed away 14 years ago, and it meant the world to me. And, you know, one of the things that I remember, my father was very stern, but very spiritual. He loved the Lord. He brought God into our home. And, when I stand up here and say, hey, how about you as a father? You know, every single one of us that are fathers today will tell you, hey, we make mistakes. We've made mistakes in the past. And you know what? God understands that because every single person is a sinful person, and we're not perfect. The only perfect father that we have is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God himself is the father we should look for advice. You know, many homes in America are suffering from what's called the phantom father, which is a father that is never there. Many fathers are not there even when they are physically present at times, which is sad. Thousands of men have fathered children and simply walk away from the family. I'm down in Guatemala quite often. I'll be back there next month on a trip. One of the things that I see so drastically in Guatemala is homes that have no father. Most of the villages that we work in, fathers are not a figure in the home. Matter of fact, this past week, we visited about 10 different families, and of those 10 families, there was only one father in the home. Fathers are not like they should be in that particular country, and things like that can happen. It takes more than fathering a child to be a biblical father. The designation of father carries with it great responsibilities, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. Some fathers are so absorbed in their careers that they seldom spend time with their children. Some fathers are gone so much, they actually, sometimes their kids don't even know them. And there's a lot of statistics that I came across that says homes that do not have a father figure, they're more apt to go into drugs, go into alcohol, go into teen pregnancies. There's so much different things that the polls show that there increases if there's not a father figure in the home. And more than a quarter of children, American children, nearly 17 million do not live with their fathers. And so the home doesn't need a man in the house, it needs a father. So this morning, we're just going to look at a particular passage of Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read about Jairus. And Mark chapter 5, and just follow along with me in verse 21 through 24. Once you get there, we'll be reading it. But this particular passage deals with a father that is deeply concerned with his child, his daughter. And it says, when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Verse 24 says, And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. First of all, look at Jairus. It says there in the first part that he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was one that was known inside of the synagogue. But more importantly, not only was he known inside of the synagogue, he knew his Savior, Jesus Christ. Now look with me in verses 35 and through 43. Verse 35, it says this. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, I love that part. You know what? They scorned Jesus, but what does he do? He puts them out of the house. He puts them out of the house. He said, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kamai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Let's pray, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this story of a father's love for his child, that he would do anything for his daughter. He sought out Jesus for his daughter. And God, over the next few minutes, that we can just share the importance of what a father should be like to his kids. And Lord, that hopefully, you know, we can understand, Lord, that fathers, we have a responsibility to our families. We have a responsibility to our children to lead by example. And God, I pray that you just give me the words to say this morning. Father, give me the strength. Lord, I know I'm tired, but God, I know that you are with us this morning. You brought this message to me, and I pray, Lord, that, Lord, it be pleasing to all the fathers and mothers and children, God, that every one of us have a responsibility to seek after you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't want to look at the next, show you something real quickly. What Jairus' daughter saw in her father. You know, there's three things we're going to talk about this morning is what did the daughter see about her father? You know, she was sick. She was dying. Jesus came in and healed her. But at the end, what did this 12-year-old girl think about her father? Well, first and foremost, she saw that her father was not ashamed to seek Jesus. He wasn't ashamed to seek Jesus. See, her father, Jairus, knew that he couldn't heal his daughter. He knew that you know, he needed somebody that could heal, and he knew Jesus. And so she saw that her father was not ashamed to seek Jesus. And some of the things we can think about is, first of all, he didn't send his wife to go get Jesus. He didn't send a servant or someone else. He sought out Jesus personally. He sought out Jesus. He knew that he needed to be the one that would take the responsibility of a father to seek out Jesus, to seek out the only one that could actually be the one that could take care of his daughter. And when you take on a role of a father, you also take on responsibility of the father as given by the Heavenly Father. And there's a scripture, it's found in Ephesians chapter 6, 4. I think I do have that on there. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not the children to wrath," but notice this, "but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And that's one, as we as fathers, we need to constantly be thinking about what our children need spiritually. And this particular instance, when she it's not dead anymore, she's alive, she saw that her father was not ashamed to seek after Jesus. And as fathers, we first of all need to show interest in them. You know, my kids, Sierra's here, my other daughter's in Florida, but they had a lot of interest, and we wanted them, anything that they wanted to do, we wanted them to be a part of it. And they seeked a lot of interest and interesting things. I mean, my kids, Sierra swam, they did dance, they did so many, t-ball. My daughter in Florida, she played t-ball, but they did so many different activities. And that's, as fathers, we need to show interest in them, talk with them, protect them, encourage them. And here's the hard part sometimes, discipline our kids. It's very, very important when you discipline them, but you discipline them in love. You know, I had two different kids. I can honestly think of maybe one time that I spanked Sierra, but the other one, a little different. You know, kids are different. But you know, we need to discipline them in love. Be there with them and for them. And then another thing as fathers, what we need to do is we need to be praying for them, praying for our kids daily, which I still do. You know, I still think of my daughters, they're both in the 30s. I think of them as still little kids. I know she's sitting here right in front of me, but I still think of my kids as little kids. They're grown adult women, I understand that. But to me, they're still little kids in my eyes. And we need to instill in them, within them, a strong faith in God. You know, I've been gone a lot, you know, and as I mentioned, you know, some things that you say you regret. My kids worked out great. I've been on 368 trips. I've been gone a lot over the last 25 years. I put a lot into my wife. My wife became the mother and the father at times. But you know what, every time I'm home, I want to be there with them, instill in them within a strong faith in God, and have God help you be the right kind of godly father to your children. And let your children see that, number one, you are committed to God. Number two, you are committed to your marriage. Number three, you are committed to them. The second thing that Jairus's daughter saw was that she saw that her father was not ashamed to bring Christ into his home. He was not ashamed. You know, during that time of year, the Jewish leaders in various places had some very negative things to say about Christ. And so, you know, even in the synagogue, all of them didn't say great things about Christ. But he didn't care about that. And as fathers, we should be the same way today. Jairus would not allow his family to be denied the benefit of Jesus just because of what others said. Jairus would not be influenced by the bias of others. He was willing to do what he knew to be right in his own families. And that's one of the things that we as fathers, we need to be. We should not be ashamed to bring Jesus Christ into our homes. He invited the King of Glory into his home. Create a Christian home wherein Christ abides. I got a couple of scriptures. Psalm chapter 127, verse number 1 says this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Notice the first part. It says, It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. You know what? It's our responsibility to continue sharing Christ with our kids, sharing Christ with our children, sharing Christ with other people, letting our kids see that. And you know, my kids, as they grew up, when we were out on deputation, it was so fascinating. My kids got to go with me to churches all over America. They got to see, we put them to work. Sierra was my sound team and projector team, and they actually sang and they did sign language. And so I wanted to teach them at an early age the importance of not being afraid to do things in the church. And it's so great to see, you know, your children growing up. And I know Kayla there in Florida this morning in her church, she's a greeter at her church. And to see Sierra playing the violin, it just does something to a father to see that over those many, many years of teaching and training your children, that today they're still, they're ministering, they're working, they're teaching Sunday school classes. Kayla has a Bible study for girls, teenage girls there in Florida. And in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But Joshua said this phrase, very known phrase, but as for me and my house, he said this, we will serve the Lord. And fathers, we need to decide, are we going to serve the Lord or are we not going to serve the Lord? Joshua made the decision that he will serve the Lord. And then finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Always remember who is the head. When Christ entered Jairus' home, Jesus chose who he would remain in and who he would leave. If you notice in the passage that we talked about, he sent everybody that was disagreeing with him away. He sent every one of those away. He wanted to be around somebody that when they saw this miracle, he really didn't care about them, because they were the ones that he sent out of the house. They already thought this daughter was dead. And he wanted to show them that that's not true. And so Jairus was one in which he wanted to show that Jesus is the head of the home. And when Christ entered Jairus' home, Jesus chose those things. He had authority. He actually had authority in another man's home. Fathers, are you allowing Christ to bring into your home what he desires to be there? Father, sometimes we have to make a decision. Some of the things that we may not see in our home are right. My wife and I, we made a decision a long time ago. And, you know, back when, it's been way back before, I guess it's not cable TV, but we had a curse-free TV, which means we put that on our system so there was no curse words in our home where you could hear. You know, now you can't even turn your television onto a normal show that just blankets this worldly immorality that we're living in today. And so, fathers, sometimes we got to make decisions what's right and what's wrong in our home. If it's not serving God, if it's not making our children grow up in the right way, becoming the great girls that I had, we had to make a decision, because back then it was just, you know, we're looking at 25, 30 years ago, we made the decision to make sure that there's no curse words on our television. And so we have to make that same decision. Jairus' daughter saw that her father was not ashamed to seek Jesus. He was not ashamed to bring him into their home. And the third thing is, she saw that her father was not afraid to express his love towards her. He was not afraid to show and express his love towards her. Love compelled Jairus to leave the side of his sick daughter in search of the one who could heal her. You know, I can think of a lot of stories over my many, many years of being a father to my two kids. I remember one specifically with Sierra. We got a phone call when she was in Oklahoma. I'll never forget that. She dislocated her shoulder. And when she contacted us, she was in a lot of pain. She's 5.5 hours from us. And I'll never forget that, you know, and saying that she's going to have to be, you in an ambulance, didn't you, to the hospital, and they were going to have to put her out. And, you know, the first thing that I did is, as a dad, I wanted to be there. So I did. I mean, I got in the car, and I zoomed. Yeah, well, it was 5.5 hours. I made it in 4. But I was there to actually pick her up after she was getting her prescription. I met her. She had already been dismissed out of the hospital. They already popped her back in, her shoulder back in. But they did it when she was under. She didn't know what happened, which is pretty cool. But, you know, it was just when you're not there with your kids, when something happens, you just want to be there. So when I see Jairus, to think about this man, saw his daughter hurting, saw his daughter at the point of death, and then he leaves her and goes to get Jesus. And I remember, you know, I prayed so much, just, God, get me there. I want to get there as fast as I can. But I was always also praying, God, take care of my daughter. Take care of her. And so, you know, as parents, we still worry about our kids. You know, I have one that lives 18 hours away. I still worry about it. But, you know, here's the thing. What we did when our kids were little, you know what we did? We gave them to the Lord. We dedicated our kids to the Lord. We said, God, they're not ours. They're yours. I'll never forget that. We gave them to the Lord. And so it's hard sometimes. But when she saw that her father was not afraid to express his love, leaving her in her crucial hour of sickness had to be a very tough decision. Fathers have to decide to do what is right for their family. Jairus also sought out Jesus because he loved his daughter and wanted her to live and be restored to physical health. By parallel, fathers, should you not make sure to seek out Jesus for your family because you want them to live spiritually? You know, it's one thing to live and be safe and to be, you know, take care of your kids. As fathers, we want to just take care and protect them. But we also want to make sure that they grow up serving God, knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Are we committed to that, fathers, our mothers? Are we committed that to our kids? You know, I've talked, we got new babies here. And met one that just, you have a year and a half old, which is pretty cool. But you know what? Make that commitment now to make sure that that child and those children grow up to be in church and to spiritually be the right kind of person. You know, you look at TV and you wonder why everything is happening today with our teens and kids. And most of it's because we're not serving God. We're not in church. We're not doing what God wants us to do. We should be bringing our kids to church, sharing God with them at home. And love for our family members should lead us to make the right decisions and then do the right things. So in closing this morning, Jairus's daughter saw these three things in her father. First, she saw that her father was not ashamed to seek Jesus. Not ashamed to seek Jesus. She saw that her father was not ashamed to bring Jesus Christ into his home. Fathers, we should be doing that, bringing Jesus home with us. She saw that her father was not afraid to express his love towards her. And then listen, fathers, be the right kind of fathers. Do the right thing, kind of things. Love your families. And most importantly, if you listen to anything, everything we said this morning, but most importantly, work hand in hand with Christ to help your family reach heaven. You know, I work when I'm in town at a funeral home. I do a lot of services for families that don't have a minister. And it's kind of hard when you walk in and you're working with a family that you know their loved one is not a Christian. When you start sitting down with them and you're talking to them about God and what was some of their favorite verses, you know, you can real quickly say, well, they weren't spiritual at all. They weren't in church at all. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, these are men that had this family, but they never instilled that in their kids. And so this person wasn't like that. And because of the dad wasn't like that, then the whole family is not instilled in spiritual things. And you see a pattern of how it grows and grows and grows. And then you have to go preach a message to try to encourage a family that just lost a loved one. It's hard. It's very, very hard. And that's why it's so important that we start when our kids are little, that we instill in them the importance of Jesus Christ, the importance of them. You know, the greatest thing that happened to Carla and I with our kids growing up is to see them come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The time where we, you know, they both were 6 years old when they trusted Jesus Christ, and they were so excited about it. And because they were so excited about it, we were so excited about it. And to see them today, you know, 30 years later, how God has instilled that love for Jesus Christ, that it's still alive today. And so let's keep it growing. Let's keep it going. And you know what? I'll always be a father. I'll always be a father until I pass from here on out. And I just want to say, first of all, I appreciate my father for the sacrifices that he did for my family, and sacrifices he did for his children. And today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all you fathers. But let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for this.